Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The following program is brought to you by the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry, and I am Pastor Schulze. Today we're continuing our lesson in the Gospel of John, and we shall go to the 12th chapter, and I shall read to you verse 42 and 43, where Jesus says, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Let us pray. Our Father, we pray now for thy divine anointing on the declaration of thy sacred word. In Jesus' name, amen. My title for today's sermon is, "Whose praise do you want?" What we have here with the chief priests is people who believe something, but they're not willing to embrace what they believe because of what that embrace would cost them. When it says that they, the chief rulers, believed on him, we take that to mean that they believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, because that is what it was all about by this time after 3 years of Jesus' earthly ministry. By now, hundreds, if not thousands, of miracles have been performed by our Lord. The reason I say that is the gospel tells us that if all the things which Jesus said and did, all the books of the world could not contain them. So it's quite possible that wherever Jesus went and into whatever home he went, that he could have healed every single one that was there from their afflictions. So now there was only one question left to be answered. Is he, this Jesus, the Messiah, or is he not the Messiah? And the Pharisees had already decided that he was not the Messiah. But many, it says, many of the chief rulers had decided against the Pharisees, and they believed that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. Now, the chief rulers here means the community leaders, the nobility, the mayors of the towns around there, the government leaders, the princes, the wealthy, the influential, the people you find in country clubs, the people who live, so to speak, uphill, the shakers of the community, many of them engineers, perhaps an architects, professors, philosophers, diplomats, landowners, and bankers. It says many of them believed on him. Jesus could not reach the Pharisees, the religious leaders, but he did reach the poor, and he did reach the wealthy. He reached the uneducated, and he reached the educated. This is explained by the story in John chapter 3 in reference to Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Jews. Jesus was able to reach him. And another case is Zacchaeus, who was a wealthy tax collector. Jesus could reach him. The rich young ruler who came to Jesus believed that he was the Son of God. Here's another one. So far in our study of this Gospel of John, we have not seen anything about Jesus reaching the educated, the wealthy. But today we see that Jesus reached those people too, when they, with their brilliant minds, put everything together about our dear Lord. They decided that they could not come to any other logical conclusion but that Jesus was God. But there was a problem with the chief rulers. Although they believed Jesus was the Son of God, they lacked the courage to embrace him publicly. They lacked the courage to stand with him publicly. They lacked the courage to defend him publicly. They lacked the courage to witness of him publicly. They never said anything publicly about Jesus being the Son of God, never. And so they never became disciples of Jesus. They never became disciples of Jesus. They just were believers in Jesus. Whenever they went to their clubhouses, their country clubs, and to their parties, they would not speak of Jesus as the Son of God. On their jobs, they did not speak of Jesus. They did not speak of Jesus as the Son of God amongst their relatives, because someone might just turn them in And if that would occur, they would lose their place in the synagogue in the church of that day. Let me ask you, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Now then, do you then speak publicly of him at the gas station, in the store, at the workplace, at the bank when you get your money or deposit it? Do you publicly speak about Jesus? Do you confess him before men as the Son of God, as your Savior, amongst your relatives, at homecomings, in the country club, in your business meetings? Do you publicly confess him in the school and in the college that you attend? It says here that these chief rulers did not confess him. Let me read it to you. For they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. What will happen if we, you and I, believers in Jesus, the Son of God, what will happen to us if we do not confess Jesus? Well, the answer is in Luke, the 12th chapter. In verse 8 and 9, I shall read it to you. Jesus says, "Also, I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God." Of course, this is spoken to born-again believers. God does not expect the other ones to witness for him. It's the born of God he expects to witness for him publicly, to confess him publicly. So what will happen to you, my friend, if you as a born-again believer will not confess Jesus publicly? It says that when you get to heaven, the Lord will deny you before his holy angels. Let me read this verse to you from the Amplified Bible to make it even more plain. "And I tell you, whoever declares openly and confesses that he is my worshiper and acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man also will declare and confess and acknowledge him before the angels of God. But he who disowns and denies and rejects and refuses to acknowledge me before men will be disowned and denied and rejected and refused acknowledgement in the presence of the angels of God." Now, those who have this classical eternal security doctrine, you may have a problem with this, but that's not my problem to even discuss or worry about, because I, by the grace of God, have decided to confess Jesus publicly everywhere I go, unless occasionally the Holy Spirit checks me on it. Just not because I have to, but because, my friend, I love to tell the story of Jesus and his glory. Now, going on with this message, I think we've answered the question, do we need to witness? Do we need to confess Jesus? Well, you notice all of a sudden, it becomes a matter of life and death, doesn't it? It becomes a matter of life and death. Witnessing is a form of embracing Jesus in public. That's what it's all about. It will cost you something. It will cost you popularity and friends many times if you witness for Jesus. Did it cost the chief rulers to witness? Yes, it cost them. If they would embrace Jesus publicly, they would be cast out of the synagogue. So they decided not to confess him, so they would not be put out of the synagogue. Well, you say, "I'm timid. I'm afraid. I just don't know how to go about this." Well, then start where it's easiest. Start your witness in the Christian community, practice in your church where Christ is already confessed and embraced. There are some things that just take practice, and then practice builds confidence. Every marathon runner started with tiny little steps from the baby crib to a chair, and then he gained confidence and started some great adventures. Start where you will be cheered to witness. I hope when you get up and witness in your church with a "I thank the Lord for saving me," or for loving me. If you just make a little statement like that before your brothers, I hope you're in a church where that will be appreciated and cheered. But start there. Let me tell you the story of one of our Shadrach mothers. We have a youth program called Shadrach, and part of this youth program, it's nationwide, it's not very big, but we have people from different places and states. It requires that our young people, our teenagers, witness for Jesus publicly. So here's the shyest of all these Shadrach youth, and her mother finally said to her, "Honey, it's time for you to witness." She said, "I'm afraid." Well, mother said, "You have to do it. You either do it in church or you go with me from door to door, but we are going to do it." So the daughter said, "I'll do it in church." Well, church service came and the first opportunity presented itself, but the girl was too scared, so she missed it. The second time she rose on her feet and she says, "I thank the Lord for helping me." And she sat down as fast as she could. Well, the whole congregation was shocked because this was the shyest, most backward girl, and none of the teenagers had ever confessed Jesus Christ in that church service or publicly anywhere except the pastor's son occasionally. My friend, that's the way you start. Once you start, oh yes, 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 you have a marvelous experience that you did not anticipate. Hallelujah. Once you start and do it, you're obeying the Lord Jesus. You're giving Him glory. And then because of your obedience, you will receive the joy of the Lord in your heart. And this is a joy you may never have had before. You experience the joy of obedience. And the joy of obedience is far greater than the joy of conversion. You see, the joy of the Lord is a gift of God to every obedient heart. So then, when you witness, you deny self. You crucify the flesh. You do what God wants you to do, and not what the self wants you to do. Don't worry about how people respond. The point is in doing it. The point is in just simply obeying God. It is the obedience that gives you the joy of the Lord, not in how many people respond or if anybody responds. So in our Shadrach youth program, we got some young people out witnessing from door to door, and some of them had nothing but negative responses from church people. This was their first time out ever, and they were shaking in their knees when they started out. But when they came back, although the responses were negatives, they were filled with the joy of the Lord, a joy they had never experienced before, because they obeyed God. And so they said, "Let's do it again." Well, my friend, we must stop here. It says the chief rulers did not confess Jesus before men as the Son of God because they had the fear of man. They did not want to suffer the consequence of that witness. Dear ones, I'd rather suffer the consequence of that witness and not lose my place in the presence of the holy angels forever and ever. So, are you one of those who loves the praise of men more than the praise of God? Or would you rather have the praise of God by far more than the praise and approval of man? I am Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry, and goodbye now until next week.
In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.